जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहार, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहार। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, 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 यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर थारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama,
वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टके। प्रश्नाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट 11।
हरेर्गुणक्षिप्तमतेर् भगवान् बादरायणिः अध्यगान महदाख्यानम् नित्यं विष्णुजनप्रियः। हरेर्गुणक्षिप्तमतेर् भगवान् बादरायणिः अध्यगान महदाख्यानम् नित्यं विष्णुजनप्रियः। हरेर्गुणक्षिप्तमतेर् भगवान् बादरायणिः अध्यगान महदाख्यानम् नित्यं विष्णुजनप्रियः।
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Before that, word-to-word translation. Harehe of Hari, the personality of Godhead. Guna, transcendental attribute. Akshipta, being absorbed in. Matihi, mind. Bhagavan, powerful. Badarayanihi, the son of Vyasadev. Abhyagat, underwent studies. Mahat, great. Akhyanam, narration. Nityam, regularly. Vishnu Jan, devotees of the Lord. Priyaha, beloved. Srila Shukdev Goswami, son of Srila Vyasadev, was not only transcendentally powerful, he was also very dear to the devotees of the Lord. Thus he underwent the study of this great narration, Srimad Bhagavatam. According to Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Srila Shukdev Goswami was a liberated soul even within the womb of his mother. Srila Vyasadeva knew that the child, after his birth, would not stay at home. Therefore, Vedavyas impressed upon him the synopsis of the Bhagavatam so that the child could be made attached to the transcendental activities of the Lord. After his birth, the child was still more educated in the subject of the Bhagavatam by recitation of the actual poems. The idea is that generally the liberated souls are attached to the feature of impersonal Brahman with a monistic view of becoming one with the Supreme Whole. But by the association of pure devotees like Vyasadeva, even the liberated soul becomes attracted to the transcendental qualities of the Lord. By the mercy of Sri Narad, Srila Vyasadeva was able to narrate the great epic of Srimad Bhagavatam. And by the mercy of Vyasadeva, Srila Shukdev Goswami was able to grasp the import. The transcendental qualities of the Lord are so attractive that Srila Shukdev Goswami became detached from being completely absorbed in impersonal Brahman and positively took up the personal activity of the Lord. Practically, he was thrown from the impersonal conception of the Absolute, thinking within himself that he had simply wasted so much time in devoting himself to the impersonal feature of the Supreme. Or in other words, he realized more transcendental bliss with the personal feature than the impersonal. And from that time, not only did he himself become very dear to the Vishnu Janas, or the devotees of the Lord, but also the Vishnu Janas became very dear to him. The devotees of the Lord, who do not wish to kill the individuality of the living entities and who desire to become personal servitors of the Lord, do not very much like the impersonalists, and similarly the impersonalists who desire to become one with the Supreme are unable to evaluate the devotees of the Lord. Thus, from time immemorial, these two transcendental pilgrims have sometimes been competitors. In other words, each of them likes to keep separate from the other because the ultimate personal and impersonal realization and the impersonal realizations. Therefore, it appears that Srila Shukdev Goswami also had no liking for the devotees. But since he himself became a saturated devotee, he desired always the transcendental association of the Vishnu Janas, and the Vishnu Janas also liked his association. Since he became a personal Bhagavat, thus both the son and the father were completely cognizant of transcendental knowledge in Brahman, and afterwards both of them became absorbed in the personal features of the Supreme Lord. The question is, how Shukdev Goswami was attracted by the narration of Bhagavatam is thus completely answered by this verse. Hare Krishna. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्री उतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च परिदानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Srila Shukdev Goswami, son of Srila Vyasadeva, was not only transcendentally powerful, he was also very dear to the devotees of the Lord. Thus he underwent the study of this great narration, Srimad Bhagavatam. So the chapter is entitled, The Son of Drona Punished. And this verse is tied to the previous verse, the very popular verse, Atma Ramascha Munayo Nirgranthapi Urukrame. And these two verses have been spoken in reply to the question as to how Shukadev Goswami, being Atmaram, self-satisfied, who had nothing to do with material energy, no desires to fulfill, very peaceful, blissful, tripta. And how did this yogi, this great Brahma-realized person now become attracted to the Srimad Bhagavatam, so much so that he took up to the study of Srimad Bhagavatam in a very elaborate way and to further become the speaker and the propounder and very a great instrument in popularizing Srimad Bhagavatam. How did that happen? And in reply to this question, these two verses have been spoken. Now, Acharyas explained that this chapter, beginning from the 7th chapter up to around 19th chapter, glorifies the Shukdev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. And of course, there are the three primary speakers of Srimad Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami, Shaunakadi Rishi, Narada Vedavyas, and Shukadev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. But out of these speakers, the Acharyas explain, or the Acharyas put Shukadev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit on the highest pedestal, and says that there has never been a speaker like Shukadev Goswami. There has never been a listener like Parikshit. And also there has not been an assembly that has congregated to listen to this most confidential discussion, dissemination of the topic of devotion. The encyclopedia of devotion, if we may say, Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Acharyas put Shukdev Goswami on a higher pedestal than even Narada. And even Vedavyas. And Shukdev Goswami, as it is explained further on, that Shukdev Goswami has taken the high seat. He is sitting on the Vyasasan, which has been presented to him, and in the assembly are exalted personalities like his own guru, Vedavyas. And not just Vedavyas, but also his param guru, Sri Narada, is sitting there to listen to this small boy, 16-year-old boy, speak. Now, it is a maryada vyatikram to be seated on a higher position than your superiors and seniors. And 5,000 years ago, when Vaishnava etiquette and all kinds of etiquettes was very, very strictly followed, it is a serious transgression. Why has Shukdev Goswami taken a high seat? That goes to show the position that it's not age, it's not any other factor, but it is, as Acharya has explained, there are certain qualities which Shukdev Goswami had, which due to which he has his position above even Narada, as was mentioned. That quality of detachment. And it was not that Shukdev Goswami took the seat because he just wanted to, you know, show how much knowledge he had. But he was presented that position by Vedavyas, by Narada and all the assembled rishis, because mostly Vedavyas and Narada, those great exalted maharishis, were always invited for social programs where they had to speak on dharma, artha, kama and moksha. Because you can only speak when you have a particular audience. When you have a very exalted audience, then if the speaker is also exalted, then the discussion can be raised to a very high level. But the listeners are not qualified, the speaker is very highly qualified, then he will not have, he won't enjoy speaking. And he will bring it down and he will dilute it or whatever. Kind of make it, like for example, I told you, once Pejavar Mat Swami came to one Kannada Sangam program, and I was also called for that program to give a talk. So that was a Kannada Sangam, the whole program was in Kannada, and that devotee, the organizer, somehow very kindly makes an arrangement, a provision by which only I can speak in English. So I go every year, I used to, and somehow that year, this great Pejavar Mat Swami, who is my worshipable personality, was also present, and I had to go, and I was quite nervous as to how I can go and, you know, share that stage with him and things like that. And fortunately, by God's, Krishna's arrangement, he came, he gave his talk, he came early. I became late, he came early. He gave his talk and he left. And after that, I inquired from devotees that, you know, what did Maharaj speak on? And I was surprised to learn that Maharaj just spoke something which even people could not understand, because the mic system was not good and people were not interested. They had come with their children and they were playing and puppet show and this fancy dress competition, and it was a cultural program. So he just spoke something and he wound up and he left. I could understand Maharaj, you know, I mean, you can't speak Krishna Katha to, you don't have the audience. I went there and, you know, how we speak, we know, I mean, you know, we speak basic and we speak a little anecdotes here and there, and people really appreciate it because that's what, you know, you need to say or speak in order to relate with the people. Otherwise, they don't connect otherwise. Isn't it? Like once upon a time, some children were playing around. Like there are so many children here, they were playing around, making a lot of noise. So the speaker said, "Arey, bachcho, chup baith jao. Itna shor kyun macha rahe ho? Nikhai nahi deta kya sare log so rahe hain? Why are you making so much noise? Can't you see the people are sleeping? Let them sleep."
let me do my work. I've been told to speak, I'm speaking. They're sleeping. That's their job. My job is to speak. So nobody's interested in, one is not interested to hear, he's not interested to speak, just a ritual is going on. So there's no inspiration, there's no prerana. So Narada and Veda Vyasa are sitting in the audience, and they don't get an opportunity to speak, they don't get an audience. It's such a privilege to get an audience to speak and share Krishna Katha, because they're not interested, you won't. So now is the time that Narada and Veda Vyasa is sitting there relishing what Shukdev Goswami has to speak on the highest subject matter in devotion. So it is their blessing, their instruction due to which Shukdev Goswami has taken that seat. Otherwise, in the presence of a superior senior, you have to get up to offer respects, you have to do all those things. But when there is instruction, you do it. So, a very important quality that Shukdev Goswami had, which one of them, which they did not, others did not have, is that of detachment. That detachment. Now, it is explained that Sudha Goswami knew the words, he had that knowledge, but he did not understand the inner meanings and all the purports, the subtle siddhantas of devotion, higher principles. Narada, as a speaker, he knew the inner meanings. He had that basic knowledge. He knew the subtle purports. But when it comes to rasa tattva, Shukdev Goswami excelled even him. In his knowledge of rasa tattva, in his realization, and also his detachment. And here in this verse, and therefore it is explained that Atma Ramascha Munayo, one of the qualities that Shukdev Goswami had was he was Atma Ramascha Munayo Nirgrantha Api Urukrame Kurvanti Ahetukim Bhaktim Ittham Bhuta Guno Harihi. So he was Atma Ram, Atma Tript, satisfied, in bliss, completely. It at peace with himself. Sitting under a banyan tree, meditating, he had left home as soon as he was born. And Veda Vyasa is screaming, "Where are you leaving? Why are you leaving me?" And that very popular verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, "Yam pravarajantam anapetam apeta krityam dvaipayana viraha katar ajuhava putre ditanmayataya taravo bhinedustam sarvabhuta nilayam munimanatosmi." That Shukdev, Veda Vyasa is putra, 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 my dear son, where are you going? Where are you going? Pravrajantam, he is leaving for the forest. Anapeta, apeta, without having undergone the ceremony of Upanayanam, which marks the beginning of Vedic study. Because he was a Brahmin by birth. But he abandoned that. Didn't want to study, he didn't want to. Why? Because nirgrantha api urukrame. Nirgrantha. So what does a nirgrantha mean, as it was explained? So grantha means the Veda. As it is explained in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, yadate moha kalilam buddhir vyati tarishyati nirvedam. Word comes there. Tada gantasi nirvedam shrotavyasya shrutasya cha. So nirveda, niragrantha. So grantha and granthi, these words are very similar. Granthi means bondage, rope. So he was nirgrantha, that means he was not bound by the materialistic injunctions of the Vedas. He was nirveda. His mind was beyond dualities, beyond all karma. He was situated in jnana. He was equipoised. So therefore, nirgrantha, he was beyond the injunctions of the Vedas. He had no rules to follow. He was avadhut completely. Now why? Then he took up to the study, because he had given up study. He didn't want to study the Vedas. So now, in order to... Now that is some, there was something which attracted him. Because Veda Vyasa, when he could not get his son back, he told his disciples who were also going into the forest to collect wood for the Anushthan and everything. He said that, you know, when you go there, just chant these verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And they would chant, Barha Pidam Natavara Vapu Karanayaho Karanikaram Vibhradvasah Kanaka Kapisham Vaijayantim Chamalam Randran Venu Adhara Sudaya Purayan Gopa Vrindair Vrindaranyam Swapada Ramanam Pravishat Gita Kirtihi Oho Bakiyam Stanakala Kutam Jigam Shayapa Yayadapi Asadavi Devegatindatanam Ujitam Tato Anyam Kamba Dayalum Sharanam Vrajema. So they would just chant like this when they were going into the forest, and this completely satisfied Shukdev Goswami, he would hear. Because he was not interested in moving anywhere. You know, that's why they say, you know, Niti Shastra says that Ashanam Manushyanam Kaschid Ashcharya Shrinkala Yaya Baddha Pradavanti Mukta Tishthanti Panguvat Ya Kutrajit. That Ashanam Manushyanam Kaschid Ashcharya Shrinkala, that this Asha, material hopes for enjoyment and desires, ambitions that we have, is such a bondage and such a surprising and fascinating bond that if it binds somebody, then he keeps running around the whole universe trying to fulfill his desires and ambitions. But when it leaves somebody, then he sits quietly in a place, peaceful, satisfied, as if he was a lame man, panguvat. He's not interested in moving, doing anything. Bas shanti, no problem. So now the Shukdev Goswami is sitting on a tree and he's hearing the Ho Bakiyam Sthanakala Kutam. That how merciful he was to Putana. Barha Pidam Natavar. Oh, this, the transcendental beauty of Lord Shri Krishna has been described. How he is moving around in Vrindavan, wearing a peacock feather, wearing a, this yellow garment, yellow dhoti. His face decorated with the minerals. Karanikar flowers. The blue color flowers. Vaijayantim Jamalam. The yellow color flowers worn as a garland around his neck. And immediately he became attracted. So, he became attracted. And he followed those disciples back into his father's ashram. And then his father made him sit down and wrote it down. Therefore, it is, the word is mati. Mati means intelligence. He was very intelligent. So, Veda Vyas wrote it down for him and made him memorize, taught him everything. So Veda Vyas is running behind his son. It may be construed as an attachment, but actually it was not attachment, not a material attachment, not the way materialistic fathers are attached to their sons or their children. Krishna says that's a very important principle for a self-realized person, is that putra dara grihadeshu ishtam cha nityatvam ishtanishtupa pratishu. The putra dara grahadeshu, you have to be detached from your putra dara, your wife and graha and all other things, your properties, investments and bank balances and everything. You have to be, self-realized soul has to be detached. And Veda Vyasa is running behind his son, is saying, the putra putra, are mere bete, kahan ja rahe ho? Was that attachment of Veda Vyasa? No, Acharya has explained, it was not attachment. So then for what reason was Veda Vyasa running behind his son? Putra putra putra. The reason was that Veda Vyas had a mission to fulfill. He has compiled this Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence of the Vedas, and now he wanted somebody to take it forward, to popularize it, somebody to memorize it, somebody to speak it. And he was searching for a suitable candidate who would be able to do so. Weren't there other disciples of his? He had so many disciples. Weren't they the devotees? No, they were all devotees. Why didn't he give it to them? Why didn't he give it to the karmis? Obviously, the karmis are not qualified. They will misuse, they will abuse this work. That's what people do. I mean, everything, all the knowledge which has come from Veda Vyas. You see, But do we ever find the mention of Vedavyas anywhere? That Vedavyas said this, Vedavyas. There's so much knowledge. Google is filled with knowledge. But is there any mention that this knowledge has come from Vedavyas? You have to wonder, really, Vedavyas? Who's Vedavyas? Sometimes even people have this courtesy. Very beautiful messages come in WhatsApp. You know, might have seen it. It comes, very beautiful messages. And many times you see that there are no names mentioned, spoken by so-and-so or said by so-and-so. Just very wonderful sayings, wisdom, very good. It takes some purity to give something without your name attached to it. If Vedavyas wanted to make money out of it, you know, he would have copyrighted his work. Every time you print one Srimad Bhagavatam, you send me some copyright. So imagine, Badrikashram would have been a very popular, you know, five-star resort for many people all over the world coming there to see. Because he's still there around. And he's wondering, what are these people doing? Every time people make money out of, you know, huge saptahas and where millions of rupees come, people donate lavishly and people make a lot of money and they live in well. And therefore, Vedavyas did not want Srimad Bhagavatam to be made a medium to fill people's pockets. It's not meant for that. And it's so easy, you know, to just steal people's knowledge away. You know, okay. I remember when I was in college, you know, we used to have one anecdote, we used to share an anecdote. You know, one American and a Japanese and an Indian, these three people were sharing their technological knowledge. So they said, American, what can you do? The American said, look what I will do. So he took a big rod and he, you know, took it to his manufacturing plant and he brought it back. And he had made that rod into a tiny, like a very thin, he made it. Very thin, very exceptionally thin, like a hair. The rod became like a hair. They could hardly see it. The Japanese said, don't worry, now you give it to me. So he took that. And then he brought it small, like small size. So what did he do with it? I don't see anything. No, you see. And then they saw he made a microscopic hole into that. He says, look, I made a needle out of it. Something has, now it has value. So wow, what technological accomplishment. And then the Indian was there and he said, okay, now you give it to me, see what I will do. And then he took, and then he brought it back. And then American and the Japanese are looking, you know, what is this? What have you done? I can't see anything. No, look carefully. You will have to use a microscope to see what I have done. And they say, and they see, and they realize that he has written, made in India. I mean, this can apply everywhere. It won't be nice if we make fun of Japan or America. We are courteous people. I mean, if you crack this joke in America, probably you'll crack it with Americans putting, you know, made in India. Because everyone has this, as the Acharya has explained, cheating propensity. And Vedavyas did not want it to be copyrighted. He didn't want anyone to make this as a medium to earn their livelihood. And therefore, saptahas as such, Prabhupada was saying that day in the morning class, that there is no conception in our sampradaya about saptahas. So many Acharyas have given so many commentaries, but where is it? Where has been mentioned that you should, you know, repeatedly do saptahas? No, the thing is nityam, as it, therefore it is explained here. This word nityam, Vishnu Janapriya. Nitya means always studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, reading on a daily basis as we can see here. And it does not necessarily mean that we study Srimad Bhagavatam. It can also mean that you hear somebody speak Srimad Bhagavatam. It's one and the same. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, reading Srimad Bhagavatam is one and the same. So here is Vedavyas. Now with this, his greatest treasure which he wanted to share to the world, the glories of the Transcendental Lord for the benefit of the people in general. Now he's looking for someone whom he can hand it over. He did not hand it over, he didn't want his son, just because, you know, it was not nepotism, as you may say. Okay, theek hai, mera beta hai, yaar, chalo, theek hai, apne bete ko hi dunga, main aur ko, apne shishyon ko nahin. No. His son really had that qualification. Because when his son was born, as we know, that Shukdev Goswami was within the womb of his mother. And he was not willing to come out. He was liberated within the womb of his mother. He thought that if I come out, I will be affected by Maya. Vedavyasa was requesting, your mother is having problem, Pinjala, the wife's name was Pinjala. I said, Vatika or Pinjala. And she did not, was not comfortable to have a baby in the womb for so many years. Vedavyasa requested him, please come out. He says, no. You go to Dwarka, you speak with Krishna, tell him to come and personally assure me that I will not be affected by Maya. And Vedavyasa did that and brought Krishna there and made him assure. And Krishna gave him darshan in the womb and assured him. And that is when Shukdev Goswami agreed to come out. So that was the level of Shukdev. And even Parikshit Maharaj, for that matter, he also got darshan of Sri Krishna within the womb of his mother. So Krishna was protecting both of them, the speaker as well as the listener, so that the cream de la cream, the essence of the Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, can be manifested. Because if anyone would be affected, either the speaker or the, if there was a fault, a material impediment in any one of them, either the speaker or the listener, then it would be spoilt. So here is Vedavyas looking for a very balanced person. He could not give it to devotees actually. There were many devotees, exalted devotees, but he could not give it to them because it is explained that it is the nature of devotees because they are very emotional. And when they hear about devotion and Krishna, and they may not be able to propagate and speak properly. When you're emotional, you can't speak. So he wanted a balanced person. And therefore, Shukdev Goswami was Brahman realized. He was not a devotee yet. He could speak without being affected. Because here is Shukdev Goswami who had only 7 days to live. And even Shukdev Goswami, he had become a devotee eventually. And even he had to be careful that he did not speak, too much esoteric things. Like he did not speak Radha. He did not even directly speak Radha. And there is a reason for that also, as it is explained in Brahma Vaivart Puran. Here it is mentioned. In that same Brahma Vaivart Puran, it has been mentioned that Shukdev Goswami did not mention it because Shri Radha Nama Mantrena Murcha Sanmasiki Bhavet. That if he took the name of Radha, then for 6 months he would go into ecstasy and he would faint and collapse. He would become externally inactive, spiritually active. But then what would happen? So therefore, no charet. He did not speak. Mataspashtaha. Why? Parikshit Hitakrin Munihi. Because he wanted to give the welfare, the advantage to Parikshit, because he had only 7 days to live. If he goes into ecstasy for 6 months, then Parikshit is just sitting here. Mera kya hoga? Because he would be affected by taking the name of Sri Radha. Sri Radha Nama Mantrena San Murcha San Masiki Bhavet. For 6 months he would go into ecstasy. So therefore even Shukdev Goswami also had to be careful that he did not become, but still he did take the name of Radha indirectly. Like in the Ras Lila section, 10th canto, he says, Anaya Radhita Nunam Bhagavan Haririshvarah Yanno Vihaya Govindo Pritoyam Anayadraha. Anaya Radhito Nunam. So, Aradhito Nunam. The gopis are speaking this verse that there is some girl who has worshipped Krishna so superlatively that Sri Krishna has chosen to abandon us and take this one gopi out into the forest. Aradhito. So who was that Aradhito? Who was that gopi? It was Radharani, as explained in other. So therefore the other Puranas openly mention the name of Radha, like Brahma Vivarta Puran, elaborately. However, the Srimad Bhagavat Puran does not mention. Why? Because it is modeled in such a way such that it can appeal to a wide variety of audience, at the same time give the essence. And therefore Shukdev Goswami was the right candidate because he was in the middle. He was not a Karmi, certainly not Brahmavadi. He was not a devotee also in that sense. Of course, he was a devotee. We cannot say that he was not a devotee because as we can see that Hari It is explained that Bhagavan, like whenever Shukdev Goswami says something, it is said Shri Shuka. When Arjun says something, it is not Shri Arjuna Uvacha. It is not done. But when Shukdev Goswami speaks, it is said Shri Shuka. What does that mean? So Acharya has explained, Shri Shuka means Shriya Shuka, which means that Shukadev who belongs to Radha. Shriya means Radha. And Shuka means what? Why? How did he get the name Shuka? What does Shuka mean? So Shuka actually means parrot. And if you go into the genealogy, Kashyap was married to Aditi, and his granddaughter was known as Shuki, one of the granddaughters. Tamara's daughter was Shuki. And Shuki's children was Kilis or parrots. They descended from Shuki, and therefore they all came to be known as Shuka. And so parrots are called as Shuka. And if you analyze that, out of all the animals, parrots are the species which can imitate human speech the closest. Yes? And not only that, now people may disagree, but actually parrots are very intelligent. Very intelligent. I remember that, you know, somebody had told a joke about a parrot previously, that there was one guy who trained his parrot to say Hare Krishna and Hare Ram. So he went and told, you know, pata hai kya mere paas ek tota hai, jiska ek pair khichne se wo Hare Krishna bolta hai. Bolta, really? Are main aana chahta, I want to come to your house, I want to see that parrot. So he said, okay, come. So he came. So he pulled his leg, that parrot. And the parrot said, Hare Krishna. Oh, yaar, kya training diya tune, manna padega, yaar, kya? Hare Krishna bolta hai. So then he thought, no, let me try something else. So he said, agar main dusra pair khichu to kya karega? So bola, khinch ke dekh kya hota hai. So then he pulled the other leg and he said, Hare Ram. Yaar, kya baat hai, tu ta Hare Krishna Hare Ram bolta hai, kya training diya tune. So then he thought, now, you know, extended his intelligence further. Now what if I pull both the leg, what will he do? So he held both the leg of the parrot, and the parrot said, are you silly? You're going to make me fall. मैं गिर जाऊंगा यार, क्यों दोनों पैर क्यों पकड़ रहा, एक पैर खींच. सो बेसिकली ही वाज वेरी इंटेलिजेंट आल्सो. यू नो डॉल्फिन्स एंड यू नो अदर एक्वाटिक्स, दे आल्सो कैन कम्युनिकेट वेरी वेल, ऑर्कास, किलर व्हेल्स. बट पैरट्स स्पेशली, दे कैन स्पीक लाइक ह्यूमंस एंड दे आर वेरी इंटेलिजेंट. एंड इन फैक्ट इट इज एक्सप्लेन्ड, पुराणास एक्सप्लेन दैट ऑल एनिमल्स हैड द एबिलिटी टू स्पीक. यू सी रामायण एंड ऑल. आई मीन, but then what was it? What happened that they lost their ability? So in the Puranas, there is a story of Tarakasur, Lord Shiva, who was requested by the gods to procreate, beget a son, Kartik, who will become responsible for killing Tarakasur. So Lord Shiva, he got into the process of copulation. It was taking too much time. So the gods, they decided to appoint somebody who can give a message to Lord Shiva to speed up. It was taking, can delayed. So they held Agni responsible for that work. Now Agni thought, why me? It's very difficult, you know, what if Shiva gets angry? So Agni just absconded. He went and entered into the ocean. So all the people living there, all the aquatics started becoming very hot, and they went to the gods and they said that Agni is here, please take him. So he cursed all the aquatics that you lose your ability to speak. He moved from there, he went to the Mandara mountains. So there were a lot of parrots and all beings. So they complained to the gods, Agni has come here, you please take him. So then he cursed all of them also, saying that you also lose the ability to speak. Immediately the parrots, you know, they fell at the feet of Agni and they said, please take back your curse. And he was pleased and he said, okay, I give back your ability. Even though your tongue will be backwards, but you will be able to speak like a young child, children, how they speak. It will be very sweet. So that was the history, that how parrots, they have a tongue similar to humans and they can speak and they are very intelligent also. But then how did the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam get the name Shuka? So it is explained that actually he was a transcendental parrot who belonged to Radha. And Srimati Radharani would personally feed him rice and milk and pomegranate seeds, and would train him to chant Krishna Krishna. And the story goes that once that parrot came to Nandagram and started very sweetly chanting Krishna 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 Krishna. And Krishna heard it and took that parrot onto his hands and arms and started caressing it, fondling it. And at that time Lalita and Vishakha come there and they said, oh, that parrot belongs to our mistress, give it back. And Krishna says, if it belongs to your mistress, you call it, if it comes, it is yours. Then they start calling to the parrot, please come, please come. The parrot was not willing to budge. So Krishna says, well, then I will not give the parrot. At that time Mother Yashoda comes, tells Krishna, it's time for your meals, you are always playing with animals and birds and all these, please abandon. And took the parrot, gave it to Lalita and Vishakha. And took Krishna for his meals. So that way there is a wonderful pastime. So it is Radharani's personal parrot. And Radharani has taken that parrot known as Shuka into all the confidential places in Vrindavan and explained to him all the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And therefore he knows a lot. And before they left for Golok, he instructed Shuka that you stay back and you be the instrument to pass on this confidential narrations of Radha Krishna Leela and become the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Shuka started crying and said, oh, why me, why me? So he said, no, do this service. So then he stayed back. And after they left, he had nothing to do. He was feeling separation. He thought, let me go to a devotee's place. So Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. So he went to Kailash. So there Parvati asked Lord Shiva that speak to me some esoteric subject matter of devotion. And Lord Shiva decided to speak about moksha bhakti, Srimad Bhagavatam. So he started speaking and he made sure that there is nobody around. So just at that time, this parrot came, appeared there and hid himself in the trees and was secretly hearing what Lord Shiva was speaking, and he heard the entire Srimad Bhagavatam from him. Parvati heard a few cantos, and then when it was the third and the fifth canto, it was very technical and all. So Parvati being a lady, generally they are not so much interested in technical things. So she slept. So Shuka saw that Parvati slept, now Lord Shiva will stop speaking. So he continued exclaiming in between, ah, very good, yes, 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 go on, go on, very good, very nice. Yes, yes. So he was continuously speaking. Lord Shiva was in so much ecstasy that he had closed his eyes and he was constantly speaking, thinking that Parvati is hearing. So 12th canto got completed and Parvati woke up and said, Bhagavatam is over? Yes, but I didn't hear the 10th canto. I already spoke it. Oh, actually I slept. You slept? What do you mean? You were responding when I was speaking? So it was not me. And who it was this? Is there somebody else besides us? Oh, it is this parrot who is hiding. And Lord Shiva became very wild and he took his trident and he ran behind this parrot in order to kill the parrot. And the parrot flew and came to Badrika Ashram. Veda Vyas was speaking again, Srimad Bhagavatam, to his wife Pinjala, and she was so astonished by hearing the narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam that her mouth was opened. Oh, in astonishment. At that time the parrot entered into her womb and took birth as Shukdev Goswami. So that is what some acharyas explain. Brahma Vaivarta Purana explains as how the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam got to be known as Shuka, Shukadev, Shri Shuka. And here Shukadev Goswami is mentioned as Bhagavan Badarayani. Bhagavan, he's also called as Bhagavan. Why? Because Kurva Puran says that Shukadev is also an incarnation of Lord Shiva. He's also Shiva. So it was Lord Shiva who was, as we know that Veda Vyas had gone to Kailash to do austerities in order to request Lord Shiva to appear as his son, so that he was a powerful preacher, Lord Shiva, and he could come and he could preach. And he preached the Bhagavad philosophy. And then again Lord Vishnu called Lord Shiva. Says, now you come and bewilder the people by misinterpreting the Vedic literatures. And he comes as Shankaracharya. So the question is now whether whom we want to follow. We want to follow Lord Shiva in his incarnation as Shukadev, or we want to follow Lord Shiva in his incarnation as Shankaracharya. That is the question. Sometimes I was just speaking this past time to one of my family members, and immediately the question was asked, how does that, does not make sense, is it not? I mean, if Shuka is Shiva, and then Shiva is hearing himself hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and then he's angry on himself, and he's going with the trident, following and chasing him, and what is it? How do we understand it? So I said, well, you know, it's quite possible, because if you see, Mahavishnu can stand in front of Lord Krishna, they're both the same person. If Lord Ram can stand in front of Parashuram in Ramayana, they are facing each other in combat, where Parashuram is challenging Lord Ram, why don't you face me? You have the audacity to break the bow of Lord Shiva, then why don't you face me in battle? So if that, those two, both being Vishnu Tattva, then why can't two Shiva Tattvas encounter each other? Quite possible. And of course, Acharya has explained there are different, how Shukadev is born. Mahabharata explains certain different aspects. Puranas explain different aspects. Sometimes he's born from a stick, rubbing of the stick. Sometimes he's born from the womb. So the different days of Brahmas, different stories of Lord Shuka has been mentioned. So this great personality who knew the essence of all the rasatattva, but at the same time, having that balance of not being too emotional, and who could take, he was an expert preacher. He was entrusted, and that was Veda Vyasa's despondency. He did not have anybody to entrust the knowledge. And so that now we see that Shukadev Goswami's devotion is being revived. He was situated in Brahman, but now he became attracted. And he was not the only one who got attracted to Ittham Bhuta Guna. Now the Lord has this quality, Ittham Bhuta Guna, which means that he has this transcendental attraction. Krishna means what? Attraction. He attracts everybody, even the impersonalists, even the Atmarams. And he's not the first. As Lord Shiva, it was not the first time that he was attracted. You know, as Mohini Murthy, Lord Shiva being completely self-controlled, he was attracted to Lord Shiva in his form of Mohini Murthy. And he was not ashamed to say that I was attracted because the Lord is transcendental. I am not material. Parvati, the material energy, his own wife could not seduce him, but he became seduced by Mohini Murthy. Similarly, there are others like the four Kumaras who became attracted by the Tasya Aravinda Nayanasya Padaravinda Kinjal Kamishra Tulasi Makarandavayu. Transcendentalist, Brahma realized, moving around in Brahman, comes across the gates of Vaikuntha and taking the fragrance of the Tulasi from the feet of Lord Vishnu, became immediately attracted. Became attracted. There are other examples like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attracted them. They were impersonalists, Brahmavadis. Sometimes even Mayavadis. Now, he was not a Mayavadi, he was a Brahmavadi. He knew Krishna's position, but he was interested, he was satisfied. But Mayavadis are Krishna Paradhis. They deride Krishna, they deny Krishna, spiritual body. They do not agree that Krishna has a spiritual body. They think that he has a material body. So therefore they are Mayavadis. But Shukdev Goswami is a Brahmavadi. And therefore this neutral stance which he had made him an appropriate candidate. And very importantly, a qualification for a speaker is that he was not just an intellectual. He was not Matihi. He was not simply an intellectual doing research on the Bhagavatam. But he was Vishnu Janapriya. He was living in the association of devotees. He was one of the devotees there. He was not a scholar, you know, doing some university program, PhD in Bhagavatam. You can do PhDs now in any granthas, shad sandarbhas and this and that. He was not that scholar. That kind of scholar. He was a devotee by nature. He was living that. And he loved the devotees and devotees loved him. One of the qualifications for a speaker is that he should be blessed. That means devotee should, he should be Vishnu Janapriya. That means his guru and the devotees love him. That means when he comes into the association of devotees, people feel, oh, Prabhuji, aye, Hare Krishna. Aye, 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 Prabhuji, khaate aap. And there are some who, when they come into association, they say, oh, Bhagavan, Hare Krishna. Kyun aa gaya yaar? Yeah? Sometimes people terrorize, some people attract. Some people are like fire, you know. You look at fire, you people run, Hare Bapare. Aag lag gayi yaar, pim, 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 the alarm starts ringing. Everywhere in the ashram, there's a smoke alarms. Like fire, and some people are like water. Agnivat, Jalavat. Some people are like water. When you see a pond of water, a very beautiful lake, river, people assemble, they have a good time. Like go to Marine Drive for a walk. So many people come. People are attracted. So the nature of Shukadev was, he was very malleable. He was very detached. And that is the nature of detachment. They don't have a particular thing. It's like water. You know, put it in a pot, it takes that form. Put it in a glass, it will take that form. Put it on the floor, it will just spread flat. So those were the qualities that he was Vishnu Janapriya, and only a humble person, one who's flexible, can be Vishnu Janapriya. One who is not having any ambitions. And that made Shukadev Goswami attain that highest pedestal of being the topmost speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course, Parikshit Maharaj was also the greatest listener. And obviously, Srila Prabhupada, who is also Paramhamsa Vaishnava, who spread Srimad Bhagavatam that like none other. Forbidden for sannyasis to cross the ocean, but Srila Prabhupada did it. Udipi Math, you know, we know the sannyasis follow this rule that no sannyasi is supposed to cross the ocean, is it not? But why did now one sannyasi crossed and he was forbidden from touching the deities. So that is the rule. But Srila Prabhupada, he crossed. Why? Because he was beyond. Nirgrantha. Nirveda. He was beyond sannyas, Srila Prabhupada. And we can see from the result that what happened. We are sitting here because of Srila Prabhupada. Who knew about Srimad Bhagavatam before you all came to ISKCON? Please, raise your hand. Bhagavatam. Did we know the difference between Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam? Yes, how many people? Please raise your hand. If you actually knew about Srimad Bhagavatam, raise your hand. Okay, so Prabhu knows. Very few people, out of so many people sitting, and most of them are saffron devotees here. For Srila Prabhupada. Like Narada, if you see Narada, he was in his past life, he was like a boy sitting under a tree, meditating on Vishnu. Vishnu comes and says, now enough. You've been learning to see me in your situation. Now you move out, travel in the three worlds and preach. And learn to see me in all situations, all cultures and all people. Not just in your temple or in your deities or in your that, no. Sthavara jangama dekhi na dekhi tar murti. Sarvatra hoya nija ishta devas purti. Are you able to see the Lord everywhere? Or only in the deities, only in the temple? Travel. So Lord Vishnu never gave Narada the injunction that don't You can travel everywhere in Bharata, but not in the West. Don't cross the ocean, no? In all the three worlds, Narada did not have any restriction. He would go anywhere, everywhere. That's why, who's that very famous one guy, thinker, he says that traveling is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. Because when you travel, you're forced to think differently. You see people, when you see a fallen person, you learn to think that this person represents a culture. It's not his fault. Just that the way he has been groomed. And Srila Prabhupada, you see, when he preached, he never found faults. One of the sannyasi disciples of Srila Prabhupada, the first person to take sannyas, I forget his name, Umapati Maharaj, he was saying in Vrindavan, in a class, that is Srila Prabhupada. He said that if you would have seen me when I was a hippie, with my long beard and my Bermuda shorts moving around like this, you would have thought, nobody wants to talk to me. Nobody would have liked to talk to me. But when Srila Prabhupada saw me, he saw a potential devotee. He never judged me. And he put faith on me and he preached to me. And here I am, so many years later, preaching and speaking on Srimad Bhagavad Gita. That was Srila Prabhupada. And that puts Srila Prabhupada on a very special pedestal also. A person who could propound and propagate Srimad Bhagavad Gita very effectively and spread it all throughout the world. So pray to Srila Prabhupada to shower his causeless mercy upon me and all of us, so that we may also realize and we may also develop a taste for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and also preaching and spreading the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai.